Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 29th of October, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, because it's Friday, and for once, I think we are finally seasonal, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone. I don't mean to brag, but for me, it's been a pretty fun week.
You do mean to brag.
For example,
don't sit over there.
I got a shiny new Apple Watch yesterday.
Ooh. Yeah. That's very much a sorry, not sorry kind of a brag, I think.
yeah.
Just putting that out there. Tune in later for the extended edition where I grill Andrew about the new Apple Watch and figure out if it's one that I actually need in my life or not. But that'll be a different show because I have many questions and I really want to know. To get started today, we have a couple of public service announcements for you, and this PSA is one that is directly related to your iPhone.
Yes. So this week, Apple released iOS 15.1 as well as iPadOS 15.1. And among the main headline features, it also patched a lot of security holes that were in the system. So I wrote this up. One of the things that I only shared a few of my articles. I'll only talk about one now just because I think it's the most understandable for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of this thing caused a buffer overflow, and now we have to figure out what that means.
Yeah.
So one of the bugs, it caused, well, under certain circumstances, a person could use Siri to access your contacts on the lock screen, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
And, like, I don't think this is something new. It is in, it was in iOS 15, but there's been a lot of lock screen Siri-related issues in the past.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, that has now been fixed.
Yeah, and that's where our security convenience trade-off conversation comes in a lot, is because you can make it very easy to do something from the lock screen so you don't have to unlock your phone, but that can also open up to, that's a new attack vector for people who should not be in your phone to try and get into your phone. So we do see those adjustments pretty regularly. So yes,
and
please
thankfully,
update.
If you go into, and thankfully if you do go into settings, you can manage what happens on lock screen. Like if you don't want people to access Siri, you can just turn that toggle off.
Yeah, and you can also set it so your notifications don't show. So it'll just say, like, I have a message, and it's, I don't know if it even says it's from Andrew, but instead of displaying the text of your message on the, of your text message on the lock screen, it'll just show you, you have one, you should go look at it. So that can be handy too. So our next PSA is about a blockchain issue situation.
Yes.
I'm not sure which.
So this has to do with the Polygon blockchain, formerly known as Matic. So this was an interesting one. The security researcher, his name is Gerhard Wagner. I probably pronounced that wrong. But he found this double spend bug in Polygon's Plasma Bridge. And it, like, double spend issues, it's common, or at least it can only really happen with digital currencies. Double spending means, like, you're trying to spend your money, like, more than once. Mm-hmm. You know, if I paid Kelly $5, a double spend mean I somehow tricked the system. I hacked reality and I still have that $5.
Yes.
So it is pretty, this was pretty serious. And because of that, this is the highest bug bounty reward I think I've seen before. Polygon awarded Mr. Wagner $2 million for reporting this.
You're not kidding. That's all the money. And sadly, he won't get to spend it twice.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why they gave him $2 million. It would have been one, but he fixed the thing, so now he gets two. Blockchain stuff gets very complicated very quickly. So if this is a thing that you know about, you probably already know all the stuff that we could tell you. If you don't, it's just going to be a really boring bit of the podcast for you. So blockchain stuff is very, very interesting from a security standpoint. That's why we talk about it here. So the But just to get back on slightly more familiar ground, we have the latest entry for this week in data breaches.
Yep. So this data breach, it was a dentistry association. So this is from the North American Dental Management, which provides administrative and technical support services for the Professional Dental Alliance. They suffered a data breach. Actually, let me see. What was the source on this? Infosecurity-magazine.com. Okay. So they reported that they suffered a data breach earlier this year between March 31st and April 1st. And they say it happened as a result of a phishing attack. So someone maybe downloaded the wrong file or clicked on the wrong link.
Yeah.
And the hackers were able to get in. They do say it affected 120, or potentially affects 125,000 patients in 10 states. So the Dental Alliance says they didn't find any evidence of actual misuse of personal information. But they say the dental records or dental images were not accessed, but they found that some sensitive personal information may have been present in some of these compromised email accounts.
Okay.
So just to roll through this quick, the 10 states are Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, Texas, and Tennessee. So if you are living in one of these states and you have
went
some kind of
dentist
association with the Dental Alliance,
yep,
maybe check that out. Or hopefully they'll also email people too.
Yeah, we'll see if they'll get in touch with folks. That'll be a good thing to know. So we have a couple other stories to talk to you about, but first I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor today. Our sponsor today is SimpliSafe, and I've talked to you about them before. They make security systems that are very, very easy to set up and to use. And they now have an outdoor security camera as part of that. So just like all their other products, this is something that was that seems like it was actually designed by somebody who wants to use it. And the reason I can say that is because it's high resolution, it's got good zoom, night vision, an easily removable, rechargeable battery, and it will integrate with any SimpliSafe setup, whether it's new or existing. SimpliSafe is celebrating this new product with 20% off a new system and the first month of interactive monitoring for free. So just go to simplisafe.com/TDO and you can customize a system to protect your home and your family. That's SimpliSafe.com/TDO and go to simplisafe.com/TDO for more information on that. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. So our next item is an issue. This is another one I'm not quite sure exactly how to describe it. But Elcomsoft is a company that has added a new feature to their software, it sounds like.
So, yes, this is an app update. This company makes this tool. They call it the Phone Breaker, Elcomsoft Phone Breaker.
Oh,
it is
wonderful.
A mobile forensic extraction tool, like for law enforcement, for example. They say that the latest app update lets them extract even more data from your iCloud account, which can include end-to-end encrypted data. And it means that they don't need the login and password anymore. They can use a trusted iOS device to authenticate into iCloud.
Oh.
So.
Wonderful.
Now, I guess the silver lining, I guess, is that this tool is, as far as I know, it doesn't sound like it's some mass extraction tool in the cloud or whatever. Like, the police officer actually needs your device in their hands.
Okay.
So I guess that's better.
It's a tiny bit better. Yeah. Well, because we'd like to think that if law enforcement has your device, they have a reasonable cause for having taken possession of your device instead of letting you keep it. So we'd like to think that this is going to be one of those, you know, tools for the good guys kinds of things. And, you know, we tune in next week for a story about how one of those tools for the good guys has been weaponized against the good guys.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyway, that's, again, separate conversation. So this one is sort of concerning, just in that there are more ways for people who are not you to get at your information. And like it's better to know than not, but it still feels a little distressing that this is a thing. So that's part of what makes this a little more alarming, I think. And this is Elcomsoft is this is, we've talked about them before, and they're a software company that makes software to get into devices, and and generally I think this is getting into devices which are not theirs, but for whatever purpose that may be. This isn't something inherently nefarious, like the Phoenix, was it the Phoenix hack that we talked about before, where nobody had to click, you know, and all of a sudden there was software in there and Germany bought it. Like it's not a thing like that. So that's like a tiny bit better, one would hope. So
yeah,
hopefully not the worst thing. So like overall, I mean, it's still not great, but better than it could be, I guess I'll say. The other one, this is another one of those, like, I'm not necessarily sure I'm better off knowing, is a new FBI, a new document from the FBI that has become public.
Yes. So this story is from Motherboard. They got their hands on this internal document for the FBI, which reveals information about how the agency gets their phone location data from carriers like AT&T and Verizon as part of their investigations. And it sounds like, I didn't read the whole document, but it sounds like they also have methods to deal with burner phones, which is a tool that could potentially make you anonymous, but also in some cases, maybe not, because it sounds like they can target those as well. So what I found was interesting is that one of it sounds like it was just a presentation maybe. So a presentation slide also kind of revealed how long these companies store your data. So let's see. Where's my quote? Okay. So it says, AT&T holds onto data such as call records, cell site, and tower dumps for 7 years. T-Mobile holds similar information for 2 years, and Verizon holds it for 1 year. And it also mentioned AT&T retains cloud storage, internet / web browsing data for 1 year. So I think part of that part at least is kind of helpful to know.
Yeah. So it was definitely something that was interesting to find out. This is not alarming in any way. when I noticed what the headlines were that we had for today, part of what I was noticing with that was like we're definitely doing a good job of freaking people out right before Halloween. So it feels like that's kind of an issue. And this is another one of those, like, you can't do really anything about it. It's just a matter of you know, do the best that you can do. If it's something that really bothers you, you might try moving to a different provider. You just have to determine what their relationship is with the other care. Like, a lot of times, you know, if you're not using one of the big, like, three, then you can, like, the other ones are still sort of managed to a certain extent by another company. You have to find out how close that relationship is to make sure that they're not sharing your data with AT&T or anyone else who may be doing something possibly unsavory with that information. So
yeah,
we kind of have to worry about that a little.
I think the general view is if you are connecting to a self tower, there is some of data that is being stored and recorded, like your approximate location and also the times and dates that you connect to the tower.
Yes.
So some things you can't really void unless you don't have a cell phone.
Yeah. Or it was only my cell phone for that day, you know.
Right.
Because it includes information about the device. So it's not just, oh, I put my SIM card in a different iPhone every day. Like, no, the phone is part of that data. So you would have to go through a new iPhone every day as well. So,
yeah.
And if you are, please email observations@macobserver.com because I would like to know how you afford that sort of lifestyle decision. please. That's going to do it for us today. We'll let you get back to trick-or-treating. So, Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yes, thanks for having me, and I hope everyone has a good weekend and a fun Halloween.
Same here. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.